بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the collection of hadiths known as عمدة الأحكام. And the new chapter is the chapter of Siwak. And the Siwak may indicate two things. Number one, the tool used, like for example the known piece from the tree of Arak, and other than that, the tool used for brushing the mouth. So this is referred to as siwak. The second, the siwak also may indicate the action itself, the rubbing and the brushing of the mouth to clean the teeth and the tongue and the gum. And it is a purification of the mouth and a pleasing matter to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Most blessed and most high is He. The first hadith, and this hadith in the book is hadith number 17. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل صلاة. Narrated أبو هريرة, may Allah be pleased with him, that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if I had not found it hard for my followers or the people, I would have ordered them to clean their teeth with siwak for every prayer. The narrator is Abu Huraira. And in another narration, I would have ordered them to clean their teeth مع كل وضوء, with every wudu. Reported by Malik, Ahmad, and Nasa'i, and also declared Sahih by Ibn Khuzaymah, and Al-Bukhari rahimahullah declared it as Mu'allaq. Mu'allaq means, and with this narration, with every wudu, he said it is Mu'allaq, meaning it is quote suspended. The Mu'allaq in the science of hadith means quote unquote suspended. What does it mean actually? A suspended narration is a narration in a which its collector omits part of the isnad to previous narrators or to previous authorities. This is the mu'allaq. So the collector may omit the beginning of the isnad. So if the narration goes one, from one to the second to the third to the fourth up till the end, and he may omit the first one, then it is mu'allaq, suspended. Or he may omit the first and the second, then it is also suspended. Even the suspended may refer to omitting the entire isnad. What is the ruling of the mu'allaq? What is the ruling of the narration which is called mu'allaq, suspended? It is da'if, it is weak, because there is no presence of narrators mentioned. So when the sanad is absent, then the narrators are unknown. However, the scholars of hadith also mentioned that if the collector adheres to suspend or narrates what is suspended, which is considered sahih with him, and he narrates it in a way of affirmation, then it is considered sahih with respect to him, the collector. So it may be considered sahih with him, but not with others. Now, the narrator Abu Huraira, we gave an explanation as to his biography earlier. The subject of the hadith, حكم السواك عند الصلاة or عند الوضوء, the ruling of siwak with the prayers and with wudu, or at the time of salah or at the time of wudu. The overall explanation: the salah is a great matter because it is a relation between the slave and his Lord Allah, the Most High, the Most Blessed, and that's why it is an obligation to be in a state of purity from filth. This state is a state of ritual purity, and it is a condition for the correctness of salah. And from the perfection of purity is the siwak, to clean the mouth, taking out what may have stuck therein from filth, which could produce bad odors. And that's why the legislator gave it the attention it deserves for every salah and at every wudu. Here Abu Huraira narrates that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that if he had not found it hard for his followers or for the people, he would have ordered them to clean their teeth with siwak for every salah or for every wudu. And for every salah, whether this salah is obligatory or optional, because this perfects the purification and cleans the mouth. The benefits of the hadith: number one, care of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his kindness. And this is a matter known by necessity, and it is a matter affirmed in the Quran as well. قال الله تعالى in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 128, لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. Verily there has come unto you a messenger from amongst yourselves whom you know well. It grieves him that you should receive any injury or difficulty. He, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is anxious over you to be rightly guided, to return to Allah and beg Him, Allah, to pardon and forgive your sins in order that you may enter paradise and be saved from the punishment of the hellfire. And for the believers, full of pity, kind and merciful, alayhi salatu wasalam. The second benefit: affirmation of using the siwak for every salah, optional or obligatory. Even Salatul Janazah, even the funeral prayer is included. Third benefit, that the siwak goes as well with wudu, and this covers the wajib of wudu and the sunnah of wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell us as to when it should be used during wudu. And whether that would be before starting the wudu, or during wudu, or after wudu. The hadith is general. The ulama, rahimahumullah, the scholars, may Allah's mercy be upon them, it shows that the tasawwuk using the siwak be at the time of washing the mouth, because they said this is the place for cleaning the mouth, so it would fit that it goes with the washing of the mouth. The fourth benefit, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the right to, or is entitled to, make ijtihad regarding rulings. Make ijtihad regarding rulings. Exert the effort regarding rulings. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith, لولا أن أشق لأمرتهم. He said in the beginning of the hadith, if I had not found it hard for my followers, I would have ordered them. He didn't say لو أن الله لم يأمرني لأمرتهم. He didn't say that had it been that Allah did not order me, but rather he said لولا أن أشق, if I had not found it hard. So the reason was that he didn't find it hard. It's not that Allah did not command it. It is because the Prophet ﷺ is entitled to make ijtihad. Then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attests to this, then the ruling is legal by the attestation of Allah. And this is the origin. And if Allah does not attest to his ruling, then the ruling is lifted. Take for example the pardon of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to those who stayed behind and did not join the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the companions in the battle of Tabuk. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Surah At-Tawbah in chapter 9 verse 43, عفى الله عنك لما أذنت لهم حتى يتبين لك الذين صدقوا وتعلم الكاذبين. May Allah forgive you. Why did you grant them leave for remaining behind? You should have persisted as regards your order to them to proceed on jihad until those who told the truth were seen by you in a clear light and you had known the liars. So he said, may Allah forgive you. So he began forgiving him before he reminded him, may Allah forgive you. Then he said, why did you grant them leave? Also in Surah At-Tahrim, verse 1, in chapter 66, verse 1, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ لما تحرم ما أحل الله لك تبتغي مرضات أزواجك. O Prophet, why do you ban for yourself that which Allah has made lawful to you, seeking to please your wives? And Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. So it is permissible and it's permitted, and it is a matter entitled for the Prophet ﷺ to exert the effort concerning rulings. Then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attests to that, then it is a shara', it is a legal matter from Allah. And if Allah does not attest to that, and this is rare, then in this case the ruling will be lifted. Also, for example, in Surah Al-Anfal, taking the ransom for the captives in the Battle of Badr, in chapter 8, verse 68, لولا كتاب من الله سبق لمسكم فيما أخذتم عذاب عظيم. Were it not a previous ordainment from Allah, a severe torment would have touched you for what you took. And this is a matter where a lot of argument between the scholars took place regarding it. And our Shaykh rahimahullah said, وَعِنْدِي أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِيهَا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ إِشْكَالِ. And with me, and all praise is due to Allah, there is no problem at all. وَأَنَّهَا وَاضِحَ. And that it is very clear, meaning that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَأْمُرْ وَيَنْهَى, commands and forbids, سَوَاءً كَانَ بِوَحْيٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَوْ بِإِقْرَارٍ, whether it is due to direct revelation from Allah or an attestation afterwards. From the benefits of this hadith is the magnification of the great importance of salah. And there are now certain, and another benefit is the hadith is comprehensive, general, comprises the salah of the person observing fasting even after zawal, after zenith time, meaning it is asserted right for the person observing fasting to use the siwak for every salah, even after the sun moves ahead of the zenith, like for the salat al-dhuhr and for salat al-asr. Cases. Case one. Would the merit of using the siwak be attained by using other than the arak stick? Some of the scholars are with the opinion that it is not attainable with anything other than the arak stick. And some of them are with the opinion that the person will achieve the sunnah to an extent dependable upon the degree of cleansing, and it is permissible to attain the sunnah, therefore, if the person uses his finger or a piece of cloth. And this latter opinion with our Shaykh rahimahullah is the one closer to be the correct one. But it is no doubt that the perfect thing is to use the arak stick, or what may replace it. But if the person uses the finger or a cloth, then it is permissible and would attain from the sunnah the extent, an extent proportional to the degree of cleaning that may be attained by such a method. Second case, case number two. What are the situations for which siwak, or in which siwak can be used? We mentioned the wudu, we mentioned the salah, and upon waking from sleep, and upon entrance to the home, and when the odor of the mouth changes. Some of the scholars also mention that it is recommendable to use the siwak upon reciting the Quran, and some of them also mention that it can be used after a long silence, because during this period the odor of the mouth may change because the air does not enter the mouth and does not exit, and this would cause it to, would cause the odor of the mouth to change. But if we generalize and say upon the change of the odor of the mouth, then that would be sufficient. Case 3. Would it be an exception not to use the siwak in the presence of people? The answer is no, there is no exception. A person may use the siwak in the presence of others, because the Prophet ﷺ used it in front of others, in front of his companions. Had this been something disliked, the Prophet ﷺ would have made that clear. And had it been a matter particular to him, he would have made that also clear, that this was particular to him. However, if the siwak, the use of it, would make the person busy and divert his attention from listening to something commanded, then in this case he shouldn't. For example, if the person begins to use the siwak while the imam is giving the khutbah, the sermon, on the day of Friday, we say don't use it, unless there is something good in that. Meaning, if sleep is about to overtake him and he uses the siwak to drive that away, then there is no harm. Rather, we say that this also permissible, because this will assist him and help him to listen to the khutbah, to the sermon. Now, another benefit in this hadith, there is an additional benefit, that this sharia is a sharia of ease, and it's not a sharia of burdening the people. And this is a very fundamental matter in Islam, asserted by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 185. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah intends for you ease and he does not want to make things difficult for you. Also, this is asserted in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 78. قال الله تعالى وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج. He has chosen you or and has not laid upon you in religion any hardship. Has not laid upon you in religion any hardship. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to choose the easiest of two things if he is given the choice, as long as it is not something sinful. And according to this fundamental matter, there is a benefit which we discussed last night. If the ulama, if the scholars disagree concerning a matter, and these are reliable scholars, some of them may see that it is permissible, others see that it is haram due to their deductions from the dalils, from the evidences, or that some of them say that it is permissible, others say that it is an obligation. And there is no decisive evidence to give preponderance to either one. So now we give therefore preponderance to permissibility and allowability, because in this case it is ease. And even though some of the scholars would say, we take by that which is hard as a way of precaution, the answer would be, precaution is to stick to the legal foundation, and it is not to make it binding upon people with that matter where there is no clear evidence to make it binding upon them. And this is therefore an important benefit. Case: is wudu specific to this ummah, or is it for all the nations? The answer is in the latter. It is for all nations. It's not particular to this ummah. What is particular for this ummah in wudu is al-ghurra wa-tahjil. As the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ أُمَّتِي يُدْعَوْنَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ غُرَّا مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنْ أَثَارِ الْوُضُوءِ, that my ummah will be summoned on the day of resurrection with bright faces and hands and on their places of ablution because of the perfect ablution. Brightened faces. Another exception and distinction for this ummah is the tayammum, the dry ablution. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, I had been given 5 that were not given to anyone of the prophets before me, and he mentioned from them at-tayammum, dry ablution. These are some of the benefits and cases discussed related to this hadith, and inshallah ta'ala in the next 2 ahadith we'll complete the discussions on the siwak. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.